Welcome to the Tell Me Something Good podcast. Ranked by the International Association of Awesome Podcasts as the best podcast in the history of podcasts. Wait, is that a thing? I don't think that's a thing. Anyway. Seeking to shine a light on all that is good in an ever-darkening world of negativity. Here's your host, Clint Swindoll.
Well, how about that? It is that time again. Time again for another episode of the Tell Me Something Good podcast. It is my goal today to engage your mind, encourage your heart, or enlighten your soul. Welcome back to the podcast. It is my hope you are having an incredible week. We have gotten off to a great start after a pretty incredible weekend. First of all, we got inches and inches of glorious rain on Saturday and a blue sky day on Sunday. Depending on where you live in the world, you may think it's odd that we consider several inches of rain a good thing. Where I live, it is a blessing. We were in a significant drought in the part of Texas where I live. In fact, we are often in a significant drought in the part of Texas where I live. So we'll take any rain we can get, particularly before we are about to enter into several months of unbearable heat. The rain made for a great Saturday. And then on Sunday, after we got out of church and came home and did a little yard work, I spent some time watching golf. It made for a relaxing afternoon. Something I heard and saw while watching golf inspired me to talk about something in this episode of the podcast. You see, the guy who won had never won a PGA tournament. I believe he had played, I think they said, in 76 events and never won. This was his first time to be in the winner's circle. As he walked up to the 18th green, he walked with a sense of confidence. The announcer referred to it as swagger. It was mentioned in a positive way, nothing derogatory about it. Just an observation that this about-to-be-crowned winner was walking with pride. As I watched it, I couldn't help but think that not everyone would see his walk as confidence. Some would interpret it as arrogance. You see, everyone interprets ego in their own way. There is no question that a healthy amount of ego helps bring about success, and in many ways, overall happiness. And if that is the case, how much is too much? We all know some people who simply have too much. They have giant egos. While some are critical of the arrogance that comes with a giant ego, those with a healthy dose of ego tend to be the people that accomplish amazing things. They are often the wealthy people because they invented something that changed the world. Or they're the CEOs of successful companies or they're high-level politicians. When we see someone with an overactive ego, we often see the result of overconfidence and sometimes poor judgment because they think they can't be wrong. At the same time, without some degree of ego, we'll lack the confidence to reach even a small level of success. Finding the right level of ego is the ongoing challenge. Overconfidence can lead to mistakes, and underconfidence can lead to not ever taking a chance. The key is to find that happy middle. There are certainly disadvantages to both. We'll take a look at the disadvantages of having too much ego in a minute. Before we do, let's take a look at the other end of the spectrum, the disadvantages of having too little ego. 1. Depression. If you have very little ego because your self-esteem and your self-worth is extremely low, you increase the likelihood of suffering from depression. 2. A lack of assertiveness. If you're going to be assertive, you have to have confidence. While we all want to feel empowered, a feeling of disempowerment grows when we don't have enough self-esteem to be assertive. There is a high likelihood that your desires and needs will not be fulfilled if you don't have the confidence to share those desires and needs. 3. Poor social skills. Interacting confidently with others requires self-esteem. When you're lacking confidence and feel uncomfortable, you make others feel uncomfortable too. A small ego makes for awkward company. 4. Overachievement or underachievement. That's right, I said overachievement for someone with a low ego that comes from low self-esteem. How is that possible? Someone may work harder than ever to compensate for poor self-image, resulting in overachieving. At the same time, the underachiever figures, well, you can't do it anyway, so why even try? 5. Anxiety. Low self-esteem and high self-doubt go hand in hand. If you're concerned about the future or your ability to handle what life brings, you'll feel anxiety. A lack of self-confidence naturally results in anxiety. And 6. Strained relationships. Those with low self-esteem struggle in relationships. They can't openly share their needs or ask for help. They're needy and, well, they have poor boundaries. Look, you want to avoid being arrogant. However, going through life with low self-esteem is a difficult path. Never forget that while it's good to be humble, taking it too far is detrimental to your life, to your happiness, and ultimately to your success. And as we all know, having too much ego as the result of self-esteem has its challenges as well. The most common one is the one I've already spoken about already, arrogance. While a strong sense of confidence may lead you to success, outright arrogance ultimately leads to failure. Being overconfident in your abilities leads to poor decisions and mistakes. 2. People don't like you. That's right. While they may not say it, they don't like you. A big part of our success in this life comes from our relationships. We do business with people we like. We surround ourselves with people we like. We seldom are attracted to arrogant people. These people are generally obnoxious. While some people get very comfortable in the success that comes from overconfidence, their arrogance ultimately damages relationships. And 3, selfishness. If you're overly pleased with yourself, you'll think you deserve more than everyone else. Your needs are more important than everyone else's. Selfish people can be successful, but expect to be lonely and disliked. Avoid being arrogant. There's nothing to be gained. If you are the opposite of that, if you are that person who needs a boost in the ego department, there are a few things you can do as well. First, be nice to yourself. If you beat yourself up every time you do something wrong, you're killing your self-esteem. As your self-esteem goes down, so does your ego. Be more positive in the way you talk to yourself. Second, avoid the need to be perfect. The need to be perfect results in failure, and I am speaking from experience here. I battle with the need for things to always be perfect. Perfection is a myth. While it's okay to strive for perfection, just know it can never be achieved. Have reasonable expectations and you'll be more successful. Success is like fertilizer for the ego. 3, focus on what you do well. Focusing on your weaknesses is an ego buster. Sure, we need to work regularly on improving certain areas of our lives. At the same time, we need to build our self-esteem by doing what we do well. And 4, stop comparing yourself to others. I share this point in the Tell Me Something Good book as it relates to our need to look for the good stuff in our lives. There will always be someone who looks better, who has more money, or is just more charismatic, whatever. There are too many people in the world to be the best, the biggest, or the most successful at anything. You have a lot for which to be proud. Focus on that. If you are one of those people who believes your overconfidence and strong self-esteem is hurting you because your ego is so strong, well, you're a part of a very small group because most arrogant people don't see it. But if you are one of those, there are some things you can do to chop your ego down to size. First, acknowledge your limitations. You're not the best at anything. You're just not. You're also not good at everything. To protect your ego, you've conveniently forgotten all the things you're not good at. Admit that you have limitations and list a few of them. Remind yourself of a few of your failures over the years. Second, admit your mistakes to yourself and others. Be honest. Hiding your mistakes demonstrates that you're inconsiderate and selfish, so admit them. You've made more than a few. 3, acknowledge your faults. Judging others is just a way to avoid judging yourself. By making yourself aware of your own shortcomings, you'll stop judging others so harshly. 4, be grateful. You owe others some credit for your success. Are you great at a sport? Thank those who supported you and cheered you on. Did you graduate from college? Be grateful you had the supportive environment that others didn't have. 5, stop bragging. If you feel good about yourself, you won't have the need to constantly brag about yourself or your achievements. People eventually find out everything on their own. You don't have to bring your accomplishments to their attention every 15 minutes. Turn it down a notch or two. Be more likable. And 6, take an interest in others. It's not all about you. Pay attention to what others have to say and to share. Put the focus on someone else. It's no surprise that having too much self-esteem can be as bad as having too little. Having a healthy amount is important to your success. Evaluate your current ego situation and decide if a change is in order. Have confidence in yourself while avoiding the need to show off. Like that golfer, have a little swagger to show the world your confidence is what has led to your success.
You're listening to Tell Me Something Good with Clint Swindoll.
The pursuit of being the cool mom, getting comfortable in your own skin, and the kindness of some law enforcement officers. Just a few positive, uplifting stories in this segment called
Good News from Around the World.
Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday. And according to a new poll, nearly 7 in 10 Americans identify their mom as the quote-unquote cool mom. The survey of 2,000 American adults identified the attributes they think set their mother apart from the parenting pack. So what makes a mom a cool mom? Among the 68% of respondents who agreed that their mom was a cool mom, 62% said it was because she talked with her kids openly about anything and everything. Relaxing the rules a bit may be another key, as over half said their mom's coolness stemmed from the fact she let them get away with things a normal mom wouldn't when they were growing up. Being an epic gift giver or having great style seemed to be a component as well, with 52% saying that her tendency to spoil both her loved ones and herself was what made their mom a cut above the rest. Conducted by one poll on behalf of Angera.com in celebration of Mother's Day, the survey also probed the most important lessons Americans have learned from their moms over the years. The answers from respondents ranged from how to be responsible and live in the moment to how to be a super parent. Don't judge others even if you think you have the whole story, said one respondent. It's not a crime to pamper yourself when life gets too stressful, added another. One learned to respect yourself and others will respect you. Nearly 7 in 10 respondents report that they learned how to juggle responsibilities from watching their moms do it all over the years. In fact, over 60% saying that their mom has been juggling more in the past year than she ever has before. So it's perhaps unsurprising that 3/4 of respondents think that, after a long and taxing year, their mom deserves to be fully spoiled this holiday. Every mother's relationship with their child or children is different, said Ankur Daga, founder and CEO of Angera.com. It's worth keeping your unique relationship with your mom in mind when planning how to make her feel special this Mother's Day. In case you're curious, here's the list of top reasons to think your mom is the cool mom, according to the survey. 1, she talks openly with her kids about anything and everything, with 62%. 2, she spoils herself and her loved ones at 52%. 3, she's always on top of the latest trends at 46%. 4, my mom let me get away with things a normal mom wouldn't when I was growing up, 52%. 5, my mom is a daredevil and will try anything once, came in at 37%. 6, she is more of a friend than a mom, it was at 39%. 7, my mom knows how to party at 23%. And 8, my mom is my best friend at 25%. So, to all you mothers listening, happy Mother's Day in advance. And then there's this. Self-conscious Brits finally stop worrying about what other people think of them at the age of 46, according to a new poll. A survey of 2,000 adults aged 55 and over found they feel comfortable in their own skin when they turn 42 and become content in their careers at age 40. As a result of feeling comfortable in their own skin and unapologetically themselves, 72% of adults feel more content in life. Victoria Betts from shoe brand Hotter.com, which commissioned the One Poll survey, said, "Feeling comfort is crucial to being happy in life. But there are so many different areas in life to feel comfortable in. And it's no wonder it takes Brits until their 40s to tick them off." Our results found nearly 7 in 10 adults think it's important that people should be allowed to be unapologetically themselves. But for many, the desire to fit in, not make waves, and go with the flow means they don't have the confidence to do this until later in life. 1 in 3 adults believe becoming a parent was key to them feeling more comfortable in themselves, and 1/4 put it down to learning to drive. Being more comfortable in their own skin made things like speaking in front of a crowd easier for 28% of respondents, and 39% no longer dread meeting new people and fumbling for ways to make themselves sound interesting. Some of the people surveyed said they'd love to encourage their past selves to embrace all of life's challenges and learn to take lessons from the hard parts as well as the good. And in case you're interested in the details of the survey, here are the top 10 situations in life that help Brits feel more comfortable in their own skin. 1, becoming a parent. 2, getting married. 3, retiring. 4, going traveling. 5, learning to drive. 6, getting on the housing ladder. 7, becoming a grandparent. 8, losing weight. 9, getting a promotion. And 10, graduating from university or a course. While this may have been a study conducted for the Brits, I believe there is something in there for all of us to learn. And finally, a quick story I just had to throw in. It's a heartwarming moment. A group of police officers surprised a boy with a little tractor after thieves stole his favorite toy. 4-year-old Gerald Philbrook was delighted when big-hearted cops gave him a brand new replica John Deere. Police swung into action after Patrol Sergeant Andrew Brooks read Gerald's dad's Facebook post explaining how his cherished old tractor had been stolen. Peter Philbrook wrote in the post how he and Gerald had found the toy and bonded while repairing it, so the tractor held great sentimental value. After an unsuccessful search effort, Sergeant Brooks, with some assistance from a local Walmart and the Tempe Officers Association, purchased the toy for Gerald. Brooks was so overcome with emotion when the time finally came to give Gerald the new tractor, he started to tear up. Once he collected himself, Brooks presented Gerald with a personalized license plate for his tractor, as well as a peace sign bumper sticker. On receiving his special gift, Gerald replied, "This is actually cooler than the other one." A big round of applause for some big-hearted police officers making a real difference in the life of this young boy. And that, my friends, is some good news from around the world. Before I end this episode with a challenge, I want to share with you that this episode has again been brought to you by our friends at South Texas Barbecue Emporium, a small local business with people who get up every day and work hard to earn a living doing something they love. As their name would suggest, they're in the barbecue business, and they offer an incredible selection of some of the nation's best spices, rubs, and marinades. Impress your family and friends with your backyard barbecue skills this year by reaching out to the good folks at the Emporium. Check them out at SouthTexasBarbecueEmporium.com. That's SouthTexasBBQEmporium.com. And now, the challenge. Before you come back for the next episode, I challenge you to think about your ego and the impact it's having on your life. Do you struggle with self-esteem issues causing you to have an ego so small that it could be limiting your success? Or do you allow your high self-esteem to lead to overconfidence and possible arrogance? Take a look at where you think you fall. If necessary, ask the opinion of someone you trust. Quite often, that's the only place we'll get a true read of whether or not we're coming across too strong. And then, whether your ego needs a boost or an effort to pull it back, commit to doing something different to enhance your success, both personally and professionally. Well, friends, that's all I got. Plan on joining me on Friday when I drop in for a quick reminder to celebrate all the good stuff that happened to you this week. In the meantime, if you have a question for the podcast, you want to share your good stuff, or you just need to find links to join us on social media, jump over to findthegoodinlife.com. You'll find all you need right there on the front page. Thanks for listening. Until next week, I'll be praying for God to bless you in mighty ways. Now, get out there and love on somebody.
You've been listening to the Tell Me Something Good podcast. The content of the podcast is meant to engage, encourage, and enlighten you to become more positive. It's not meant to diagnose, treat, or replace the personalized care provided by a trained professional. If you're struggling with depression or mental health issues, please reach out to a counselor for diagnosis and treatment. Until next time, be positive, people.